This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Say Marida. Jy en Niels is ek lekker mense. Ons is baie bly met die Valley is so lekker. There are some people here today who don't know the beginning of the story, so maybe you can just start by telling us a little bit of the beginning of the story, and then you can go from there.
So, not everyone here knows us or knows our family history, but I was 6 years old and my sister was 8 years old when our mother was diagnosed with breast cancer. So, pretty much our whole childhood was, you know, our mother was in and out of treatment and she succumbed to the illness. She didn't make it past the age of 45. So, a big fear in my life was that I would have cancer or have breast cancer. So I was very vigilant with my screenings and just with my general checkups and mammograms and everything. But the doctors kept saying to me, they kept saying to me, your risk is high, your risk is high. Basically, you will have cancer. So it was very the sinking feeling that I had when I felt the lump in my breast and when I called the doctor and I said I need to come for a checkup and a sonar and the urgency that he sent me down to the mammogram. The lady at radiation or radiology said that she wasn't going to see me immediately and he stormed down there and he said, you will see her right now. So everything was very urgent and I think in about a span of, I think it was less than 6 weeks, I had already accumulated a group of about three doctors, gone for two mammograms, which were semi-inconclusive, had eight biopsies done on my breasts, which were all negative for cancer. But thankfully, I had a very, very good team of doctors, and they encouraged me very strongly to go for the BRCA gene testing, and I tested positive. So I got my results on the Friday, and I was booked in for my mastectomy on the Tuesday the following week. So it was very fast. And I was, yeah, it was just happened very, very quickly. And I went in for the Tuesday very hopeful that it wasn't going to be cancer and that I was acting proactively to save my life. When we started the process, God gave me a scripture that this illness is not unto death, but for my glorification. And so reading the scripture, I already kind of thought that I had cancer because why would he say this illness if there wasn't an illness? But, you know, you still have a hope and you don't give up your hope. So I walked in faith. And the Friday night when the doctor came in and said it's cancer, I was devastated. I was crying, and I looked at him, and I said to him, no, like, no, it's not, can't be. And I was just broken, like, I can't explain the brokenness that I felt. I was, in that moment that he said that to me, it was like he had put a death sentence on me. And my doctor, so an amazing man, seriously, like I can't speak highly enough of this guy. He stopped and he looked at my husband and he looked at me and he said, we'll talk tomorrow, but for now we're going to pray. And he sat down on my bed in many clinic again and he put his hands on me. I don't even know what he prayed, but he prayed for me. And, you know, like it was what I needed. It was exactly what I needed in that moment. And through this whole year and through this whole process, every time when I had felt like this is too much, God, like it's too much and I can't do this anymore, he was right there. And he was in the form of a doctor or a friend or somebody who would bring me a word in the times where I felt like there was nothing more to go on for. I had such a fear seeing my mother die from this illness. It's a horrible way to die and so much pain and suffering for your family. And I was so scared this year. Like, it was so real for me. And I felt like going into this thing that I had no hope. And I honestly can say, sitting here today, that God has done an amazing restoration for me in my life. And irrespective of whether or not I die of this illness, He has redeemed me from the pit. He has taken my fear away. There's nothing to fear anymore. I already had cancer. Like, it's only upwards from here.
Marita, but you started your story with the cancer. But for those of us who know you in the congregation, know that at the end of last year, you had a few other pressure points as well, which did not stop through the year. Maybe you can just give us a little bit of that, just to give the context of the, if it was only cancer, it would be bad.
Okay, yeah, so I skipped over that part, but last, so we came back from overseas. We lived overseas for 7 years. My husband was working there. And initially when we went, we felt God said we must go. And when we came back, we felt God said it's time to come back. And we came back with dollars, you know, because nice. We were like living the dream, come back and everything's great and we're going to settle down and Neil's going to start his business. And we've always had a heart for fostering. We've always wanted to do it. And then God showed us who the kids were and we were just like on the brink of becoming foster parents, and then things took a really bad turn. Neil's business didn't work out. We got into debt, like a lot of debt, really badly. He hadn't worked in the South African financial industry for a long time, so the chances of him finding the right work was really slim. That's part of the reason why he started his own business, because he didn't really know what he was supposed to do here, because most of his career was built in the offshore industry. And a lot of things went really badly. We bought a car for the expanding family, and within a month of buying the car broke down. The whole engine had blown up. It was like completely wrecked. It was like 80,000 rand to fix the car, and we didn't have money because we were in debt because Neil's job didn't work out. So everything was really going wrong, and I was actually sitting on the floor crying. And Neil was like, "What's wrong with you?" And I said, "I don't know how to be poor." Just the futility of our minds, the way that we think, and also not knowing what was coming. And it's just amazing, actually, what God had done this year. With the kids coming in, the kids had just come to stay with us. So we were new parents to two older siblings, a boy and a girl, and then I got a cancer diagnosis, and we were technically still in debt as well at that point. And Neil just kept saying to me, "Everything's going to be okay." And I was like, "Yeah, okay, okay." And he got an interview, had two telephonic interviews after work. He got an amazing job. There's only one like it in South Africa. And we were able to financially pay for the treatments of the cancer and pay off our debt and sustain our family and finally fix the car as well. And when I got my diagnosis, it was funny because I was so stressed about the money. And then I looked at Neil and I was like, wow, I really wasted a whole year of worrying about money. Like, I can't do anything about the finances if I'm dead. Like, it's stupid, really. And I mean, now it's not even been a whole year later and God's completely restored everything. He's turned everything around. But I think the irony of the whole situation for me was, you know, the feeling that you're going to come home and you're going to do something and you're going to be part of South Africa and changing things and doing this great work. And actually, like, I didn't have very much to bring this year. I wasn't a very great mom. I was sick most of the year, in and out of treatments. I barely put my kids to bed any of the nights. I didn't take them to school. Grandparents did that, and my husband did that. And, like, I didn't have anything to offer anybody really this year. And in that process, God really showed me how much worth and value I have, that my value is not in this body that he's given me. My value is not in my physical appearance. It's not in my motherhood or what I can offer someone in terms of friendship. My value is the fact that I am a daughter of the Most High King and he loves me. And my value is the fact that I am a created being by a mighty creator that is so much bigger than we can ever imagine. And he's really restored that in me this year. There's been a lot of fruits come from this journey that we've walked. I've been humbled by God in a very good way.
So you shared a little bit about how through the process of the cancer treatment, not just the cancer, but through this year, that God really deems you valuable and precious. How have this year shaped your view and relationship with God? I mean, you've been a believer for a long time. How did this influence that, Marita?
Obviously, I think once you hear something like you've got an illness that's not technically really curable, like they can give you treatments and they can hope that it doesn't come back, but the doctors don't really understand cancer, you know? Like, they don't, like, they have some knowledge more than they had years ago, but it's a very, very weird illness that they still don't completely understand. And I think also, especially with the genetic cancers, I kept asking them, you know, like, did I do something wrong? And they kept saying, like, no, this would have always happened to you. It's just, it's in your genetics. So, you know, it doesn't give you a lot of faith in the process. So I really had to go to God and say, what now? You know, like, where do I go from here? And the eternity perspective that you gain. And actually, like, last year, a friend of ours who was with us in university, she lost her daughter in a drowning accident. And it shook me to my core. And I couldn't shake the story. And her faith through the process and the way that she turned to God and, you know, she clung to him and she said, he is my redeemer and he is my savior. That it prepared my heart for this year. And I realized that if I'm not going to go and redefine my view of God this year, if I'm not going to go and sit down and say, God, like, show me who you are, and show me who I am, then I'm not going to make it through this thing. I'm not going to come out on the other side. And yeah, you know, it's like Neil said, that he felt that this year God said to us, just hold, just hold, just stand. And this year wasn't a battle. Like, it really wasn't. All I had to do is I just had to stand. I just had to hold. And God was battling all around me. And I realized that his character is good, and that, yes, suffering is horrible, and no one wants that for their family or their friends, and I don't know what the future holds. I don't want my kids to grow up without their mom, obviously. I don't want my husband to be alone. Like, that's not what I want. I don't want to live a life where I'm sick all the time. But God is still good, and he is still a God who can use suffering. And I'm honored to be his servant, and I'm honored to be used by him in my suffering, even though it's not what I chose for myself. And it is not my place to question what he allows or what he gives to us, but he will never give you more than what you can handle. He will always be there with you, and he will come alongside you, and he will stand with you.
So maybe just a last one. You shared so much already. You said something really precious to me, which stays in my head recently, about just the impact that this year had on you. Not just the self-knowledge, but that you are not the same person that comes out of this year as that went into this crisis. Tell us about that and how you make sense of that. Just about the loss.
I think there was a great deal of innocence lost this year, in the sense of, you know, being able to wake up in the morning and look at your kids and have enjoyment out of them and then drop them off somewhere and go on with your day. There was a huge aching in my heart for the hardship and the sadness that my children had to endure this year. I think, you know, kids are so resilient and they go on with their lives, but you don't realize the full impact that it has on them. And this morning, even my son was just very emotional and he was crying and he said, I want to be a baby again so that you can hold me and so that you can lie with me at night in the bed. And I think he just, you know, he misses his mom. And there was a lot lost this year, stolen from us as a family. But in the, and that was difficult. It was really difficult to walk through that. But, you know, we look at the story of Job and we read it in like half an hour and we think, you know, Job lost everything, but God gave him so much more. But we obviously, we don't realize like the depth of the loss that Job felt, you know. And I think that there was a very deep sadness that Neil and I went through this year. My father obviously also, like, you know, he stood next to my bed, my hospital bed, so many times this year. And I kept looking up at him saying, like, this is wrong. It should be the other way around. Like, you shouldn't be here next to my bed. And, yeah, it's very traumatic for a family and for parents to go through. And a lot that we had to sacrifice this year because of my health issues. And the thing that I realized out of it, though, is that as painful as the loss has been, I'm forever changed, and I know that God is restoring so much more to me than what I've lost. It's a process, and it's going to take some time to get out onto the other side where I can work through this trauma and through this pain and talk about it without being so emotional. But the reality is that that which I've gained is so much more. I've gained such a deepened relationship with my father and my heavenly father and my biological father, actually, after this year. And with my husband, our marriage was, you know, it's always been okay, but we struggled some time ago. We went through some really, really difficult times in our marriage, and I don't actually want to say it out loud, but I think I'd actually go through this year again if it meant having the fruits of our marriage that we gained this year. We've grown in our relationship with one another, in the honesty, and that's something that I really want to share with you guys. Like, don't wait for something like this to happen. It's not necessary for one of you to go through a really traumatic experience to look at your marriage and to say, like, we can be real with each other and we can grow in relationship with each other. And it's taken me to go through this experience to be really honest with Neil and to say to him that I need you. I really, really need you for comfort, and your presence is comforting to me. Like, I wasn't vulnerable with him in that way. I never opened my heart up to him in those areas. And I think it's been an amazing gift that we've gotten out of this experience, because I wasn't physically able to do things for myself. After chemo, I was so sick that Neil would have to help me to the bathroom. He would have to help me get dressed in the mornings. Like, I was just too vulnerable to actually take care of myself. And I wish that I'd went to that place of vulnerability with him many years ago and that I'd not kept that away from him. You know.
Yeah, Marita, your story, just like Job, we had now 20 minutes or 15 minutes of hearing something of you. But we're glad that you're here, because you're a living witness, a living hope. of what Christ does through hardship. So I just want to honor you for that. I was sitting here and I was thinking through some of the scriptures that we say so often, but in all these things, we are more than overcomers, you know, that we long for the day of God's great restoration, that in this world we will have trouble, but there is a time when Jesus truly comes to make all things new, when there will be no more sickness, no more tears, no more disease, no more death. So we're living in this suspense time of suffering, but we can see the faithfulness and the fruit of God's grace in our lives when we're at the most vulnerable. So, Neil, I just want to say that we really honor you. As a church, you've been a great husband to your wife and father to your children. And we're glad to see what God has done for us. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for God. 10 months ago, Lord, we prayed for Marita and Neil, God, and the family. And 10 months ago, God, she was really afraid, God, because of the blade that would come and the chemo that would come, God, just in the week coming after this. Thank you for your faithfulness, God. Thank you that you have preserved her. Thank you, Lord, that she has grown in the knowledge of who you are, God. She has grown in the knowledge of who she is, God, of the value that she has for you, God. She has seen your faithfulness, God, when she was weak and she couldn't do anything. She saw you come, Lord, not just through for her, but through for the family. We thank you, Lord, for how you are restoring in the midst of all these things, God. You're restoring what was lost. And God, we look at her life, God, and we thank you that she is still around to be a gift for us. Not just because of what she does, God, because of her intrinsic value. And Father, we pray as a church that you would fully restore what Satan has stolen, God. That her life would be a shining beacon, God, of hope to others. We thank you for the gift of this testimony of your faithfulness. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.